Welcome to the Rouse Review. I'm your city manager, Dan Hoffman, and with me is our PIO, Sarah Fry. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Dan.
All right. Is this our first one?
This is our first one in 2024.
Yeah, sorry. We took a little time off over the holidays, and then I think some weather and other scheduling stuff got the better of us. So we're picking back up just in time for budget season.
Woohoo!
And we'll talk more about that in a minute. We also have a council meeting tomorrow night. So I hope everyone gets back into the swing of things. I know it's already February, but it's the new year. It feels like the year just started, but we are already many days into February at this point, which has come as a surprise to, I think, many people. So tomorrow night, a council meeting, if you'd like to show up. I thought this meeting was going to be a lot more packed, but we've had a couple of things that didn't make their way through Planning Commission in time, and a few other odds and ends that are pushed to the next meeting. So tomorrow night, we've got a reasonable sized agenda, though. You are going to, or I believe we're going to get the public hearing on the electric vehicle ordinance. Again, this is just to allow us to put in a charging station. There's one charging station, and this is something the council requested, and we have to have an ordinance to support any enforcement we might have around said charging station. So if you are interested in that, please come check it out. Get a couple little things on consent. They're mainly administrative. We will talk about a community action agency. So we're not going to get into it today. Maybe it's a topic for a future.
It's a great topic.
Yeah, for a future podcast if we were to, if it actually gets approved, of course. But People Inc. and a community action agency, really it doesn't affect any of the local nonprofits in any significant way. I've heard a few bits of concern that this group was coming in to do certain things. They are a tool for us to assist with housing. It's another tool in the toolbox. So, and it opens us, it does potentially make more funds available for the city. So it's something that, you know, we feel is worthy of consideration on council. And it's something many jurisdictions do. And you have to point to one, you know, community action agency. So it's really another tool in our toolbox for housing. And then there is one ordinance related to an application over on Daniel Terrace. It's a very small one, so I doubt it would be of much interest to folks. Beyond that, and a few other little small administrative items, that is our meeting tomorrow night. So come and check it out with us. All right, with that, we're going to take a quick break, and I think we're coming back with Celeste Broad Street, right?
Yes, we are.
All right, coming back in just a minute with Celeste Broad Street to talk about the budget. All right, welcome Celeste Broad Street. Celeste, you've done this with...
Yes, we did it last year.
We did it last year, yeah. Right? All right, so it's that time of year again.
It is.
It's budget season. It's Celeste's favorite time of the year. This is when she gets the most sleep, rest and relaxation. Some people take summers off. Not Celeste. She says, you know what? From January to late May... Street, isn't that right?
That's right, exactly.
So what's Celeste's job? What is Celeste's job here,
Dan? Of course, for those of you who haven't picked up on my sarcasm so far, this Celeste is our finance director, and she is, her primary focus during those months is putting together the city's budget. So we're early in that process. January did kind of happen in a blink of the eye.
It did. It went by quick.
I do not understand where January went. Mm. So here we are already 12 days into February. And we're knee deep in budget season.
We are.
We are about to, for those of you who are curious about what that budget calendar looks like, you know, I encourage you to go to last week's finance committee meeting. There's a whole presentation on February 6th where the budget calendar was laid out, but put in general terms, it started really late last year.
Right.
That's when all the departments start putting together their budget. And then we start having conversations with the departments internally. That's already occurred. That was a big chunk of January. And now we're starting to have public conversations as we have information ready for the elected bodies. So, Celeste, talk a little bit real quick about the next couple of months and what folks should expect to see.
Sure. So we had, as Dan mentioned, we had our first public review of the budget, or kind of first glance, this past Tuesday for the Finance Committee. We'll have a couple more meetings in February with the Public Health and Safety Committee and the Planning and Economic Development Committee. They'll review those specific departments there, and then we'll start into March, and we'll go back to Finance Committee with some updated information. Mm-hmm. We're still, like say Dan mentioned, it's early in the process, so there's still some outstanding items that we have to come up with. As far as how much money we need, or how much we don't have.
How much we don't have this year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then they'll roll into March, and we'll go to Finance Committee, then back to City Council, and then into April, and then towards May, so we get a budget at the end of May. By May 28th, we'll have a budget.
Yep.
So it's definitely a multiple-month process. Lots of chance for a public to come in and talk about it at any meetings. There's always public comments.
Absolutely.
That was a question that I was going to ask. What are the best meetings for the public to come to if they want to kind of have their voice heard?
They have a range of dates they can pick.
Really, all of them.
Yeah, all of them have public comments. So.
Earlier the better.
Right.
I mean, that is one thing that we hear every year is right around second reading for the budget, folks show up and they're like, what? I just found out about this.
Right.
Or, oh my goodness, I wasn't involved with the months of conversation before this, but I'm jumping in right now and you need to stop everything because of what I have to say. No, get involved early on. If you're coming in at second reading the ordinance and expect there to be massive changes, I'm just going to tell you, it's not going to happen.
Not happening. Okay.
Because there's been ample opportunity for public input, and a lot of decisions are being made over the next several months. So if you want to be involved in those decisions, get started early and you know, look at the materials, familiarize yourself with what's going on.
Exactly. Each agenda item for each committee meeting and each council meeting will have an agenda packet that'll have all the information attached to it. So, yeah.
And I commit to having, by the time this podcast goes live, a page on our website that you can access from the homepage that has all this information at your fingertips.
There you go. Perfect. So that's the next several months. We hope you participate. You know, it makes the process better. You know, a lot of times folks say, well, a lot of these decisions happen. You know, why was this decision made? Why was that decision made? You know, some of these are very technical decisions that we rely on our subject matter experts for. So whether it's my city engineer telling me about what the actual cost of a project will be, or the police department saying they have, you know, they need two officers. Those are the types of requests that, we talk about and we discuss internally with the subject matter experts before we bring them to the public for consideration. So work has started. It's going to continue. And now is a great time to get involved.
Absolutely.
I'll take a few minutes to talk about what was discussed in Finance Committee. There was an article in the paper as well. I actually felt that it was a pretty good, you know, good job, Brian, on the article. It was pretty good. And so check that out. Watch the video of the committee meeting. What you'll hear is that this is a very, very lean year for us. When council set the rate at 83 cents last year, obviously that, you know, we're foregoing future revenue based on that decision. if you look at some of the tables in the presentation, you'll see that our budget when adjusted for inflation has not increased dramatically. We have good years, we have bad years, just like everybody. We are not immune to inflationary pressures, especially over the last several years. And of course, in that same period of time, we're taking care of our employees who are also feeling that at home as well. I will say I'm pretty happy because the economy here is fairly solid. It's not an inferno like it was, you know, in the last year or two when there was a lot of money pumping through the economy, but it's still pretty good. So we do anticipate we'll see some revenue growth next year when we do assessments again. But because this is an off year, there's no assessments. And the current rate structure, we have a certain amount of revenue. And that's just the dollars and cents of it. We don't just go out and print money like the federal government can. We have to bring a balanced budget forward. So the decisions that we're bringing to council are, they will be difficult yet simple because there's just no money. So of the over $3 million in new requests, which represents roughly 2%, a 2% increase in our budget. Mm-hmm. In fact, I don't know what the inflationary pressures are for the last 12 months yet, but it's, when you factor in inflation, it's probably not a 2% increase, but we're still not going to fund almost any of those new requests. So when you look at what actually is going to go towards not just the city's budget, but also WPS, there is nothing to work with this year. So unless council makes some decisions about rates, of course, that is always their prerogative. We don't propose rate changes unless we feel we absolutely have to. I stop short of proposing any rate changes this year, even though it is a very lean year.
Very lean year.
At the same time, I realize not knowing what some of these, the school's request is going to be, not knowing what our health insurance increases are going to be. There may come a time when we do have to talk about some of those levers. So I imagine that conversation is going to occur, and that is the prerogative of council. We will listen to it, but we will bring them a budget that is balanced when we finally get a final proposed budget for discussion in March. So a lot of stuff between now and then.
Yep.
So all that being said, a lot of work coming up. And if you want to just get a little more information, education on the process itself and how a budget is built, we are putting together one of our Saturday morning at Rouse workshops. We were actually going to do this in January. But weather got
a little snow,
a little ice, and that kind of put the kibosh on that workshop. Mm-hmm. But we do have another one scheduled. When is that?
For Saturday, February 17th, that's this upcoming Saturday, mm-hmm. at 10 a.m. right here at City Hall.
Excellent.
You can register by visiting www.winchesterva.gov to register. We've got some limited spots, but it's going to be a good time. You get Celeste, you get Mary, who's our deputy mm-hmm. city manager and CFO. Mm-hmm.
You get to meet Celeste in person.
Get to person? We'll go over the budget process. And
Celeste
it's exciting.
Might be everybody's yes. favorite person in the city. I'm not going to lie to you.
Right.
Who doesn't love Celeste? Right. Except people asking for money. Which, it's it's all of us at one point. I will say
favorite person when I can give out money, but not,
exactly.
But taxpayers should love Celeste.
Yeah, that's so true. Mm-hmm. That's true. She is always the one keeping us in check. So check out the workshop. Come out, meet some of the folks that work on this, and including Celeste. Thank you very much for chatting with us.
No, thank you for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Go get back to work.
Thank you.
Welcome back. It is C block now. It's not a part of the prison. It's what we call the different chunks of this show. It's A block, B block, C block, D block coming up. We're going to talk about a little Black History Month. But for now, in C block, as we call it, it's what's coming up. So I'm going to pass the baton to Sarah.
All right. Well, Dan and Celeste kind of stole the thunder on the very first one on my list, which is please join us because Saturday mornings at Rouse are back this weekend.
Yay.
And this is going to be a good one.
Come grab a cookie and a water and learn about stuff related to the city.
It's cool. We're going to be going over the budget. Meet mm-hmm. Celeste, meet Mary Blow. It's going to be good times.
Yep.
Make your
talking
own.
About money. Talking about millions of dollars of our money.
And right? You might even get to make your own city budget.
Yeah.
See how much fun it isn't.
Yeah. And when I say our money, I'm not saying ours is in the city's money. It's our money because this is what we all contribute to the efficient and effective functioning of the services we receive. So this is really about our money because this is our city. So come join us.
All right. Next up, you're going to hear more about this in our D block, but please join the city of Winchester for the dedication of Poles Park. It's named after the legendary Negro League baseball player and World War I hero Spotswood Poles, who was born and raised right here in Winchester.
Absolutely.
The event is going to be hosted February 24th. That's a Saturday at 11 a.m. at our newest neighborhood park, the corner of Franklin Avenue and Maple Street. It's beautiful out there. And mm-hmm. we're going to have some members of the Poles family. We're going to have some members of council. We're going to really do this up right for Mr. Poles.
Absolutely. And this park, it was, again, made possible by our tax dollars. And also, it was part of our comprehensive plan. So we have a stated goal in not just our comp plan, but our strategic plan about having a park within a 10-minute walk of everybody. This was an area that did not meet that criteria. So we are adding this neighborhood park. It's not huge, but the neighborhood parks aren't meant to be. It's got a nice little creek running through it, and we'll continue to make improvements and additions over time. But given the budget, I think we've made the place look pretty nice.
I agree. All right. Last thing on my list is an important one. Next Monday, not today, next Monday, February 19th is President's Day. Mm-hmm. All city offices, the rec center over at the park, and the Joint Judicial Center are all closed. Mm. So don't try to come visit us. We won't be here. Additionally, that means if you normally have your recycling picked up on a Monday, it's moved to Wednesday. Mm. So please be aware if you're recycling is normally picked up on a Monday, it's moved to Wednesday next week. So that make sure you get that out. Nobody wants stinky recycling hanging around all week.
Of course.
And that's all I've got for what's coming up.
Thank you very much, Sarah. So up in D block, we're going to talk about Black History Month.
Yes, sir.
So we'll be right back. Welcome back. We are now going to take a few minutes to talk about Black History Month. I'm gonna start off with just a quick bit of personal privilege, so to speak, because this was in the paper, and it's something we monitor all the time. And you know, I don't speak for anyone but myself here, but I know this sentiment is shared by many folks on the staff and throughout the city. But at the beginning of Black History Month, there was an unfortunate flyer that was passed out by the local Klan chapter. And, you know, I think we can just call it what it is. It's, you know, hateful, racist stuff that, of course, we would expect this type of stuff from the Klan. I think we all,
yes.
It's not as if they have a reputation for doing anything good. So, but it is interesting that the flyers were not distributed in the areas of our city that were predominantly African American. They were put in areas where they felt they could actually recruit people. So, if you found them in your neighborhood, take a minute and think about that. And you know, if you ever get the opportunity, or if you talk to your neighbors, just reinforce that, you know, this kind of thing has no place in our city. It has no place in our neighborhoods. And the fact that the Klan thinks that they could actually recruit people from the city of Winchester to join their cause, to me, is not only disturbing, but also stupid. Because I don't believe this community that in any way, shape, or form supports that ideology. People are, of course, are entitled to their own opinions, but you know, I draw the line at this kind of hate speech. So it makes it even more important to recognize all the accomplishments and contributions of the African-American, Caribbean American, African Caribbean, all of the people of color that have contributed so much. That's why this month is particularly important. So we want to take a little bit of time today to celebrate that. We're going to stop. I'm going to stop talking about the negative out there because this month is really about focusing on the positives. And with that, we're going to, we recorded a segment that you know, we'd like to play for y'all. So Sarah, do you want to, set it up?
Yeah. So you're going to be hearing from myself along with Vice Mayor John Hill, Miss Judy Humbert, who is a wealth of knowledge when it comes to African American history within the city of Winchester, and Tommy Dixon, who is just a pillar of the community. So we're going to hear about a commission that was formed to help create some really great events around Black History Month, not just in Winchester, but in the surrounding areas as well. And just the amount of pride that comes from this area and the people that impacted not just this area, but also our country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, without any further ado, let's go ahead and play this.
All right. Welcome back to our next segment of the Rouse Review. Today, we are meeting with some prolific community members from Winchester that have been heavily involved in bringing Black History Month to life this year in the city, starting with Vice Mayor John Hill, Miss Judy Humbert, and Mr. Tommy Dixon. So welcome, all three of you, to the Rouse Review.
Thank you.
All right. So I'm going to start with you, Vice Mayor Hill. Can you talk to me about what brought this group together, and who is this group? Who are you? What are you guys doing?
Okay, well, we're calling ourselves the Regional Black History Committee. And it began when I had contacted the members of the Juneteenth Committee for Winchester and Clark County. I wanted to know more about their activities and whether or not we might be able to do something in a joint venture. We got together, met, and we talked, and it was decided that we didn't want to really make any changes in what they were doing for Juneteenth. So someone in the group asked if there was a possibility for us to talk more about Black history activities in February. They didn't feel there was enough going on, and I agreed with them. So we decided that we would meet again and began talking about activities for Black history within the Winchester area. The members decided that what they would do was contact additional people to help with this, as opposed to just four of us. We would ask additional people to come in and provide some suggestions. So when we got together, I think there was ended up about 10 of us maybe all together. And we sat down, and it's a large group, and started talking about those activities that we felt we might have an interest or would be of interest to the community at large. And I guess it wasn't decided until our third meeting that we call ourselves the regional. Since we weren't just all from Winchester, we do have people that live in Winchester from Frederick County, and as far away as Manassas, who are representing Clark County. We've had a couple of meetings, and we came up with the activities that are listed in the calendar or the WIN Connect magazine that's sent out to all citizens here in Winchester. And from that, here we are, coming to today's podcast.
That's a great origin story. I love it. So as you mentioned, all of the events were sent out to all city residents in the first edition of WinConnect, and we shared them out via social media on the city's page, too. So if you didn't get a copy of that, make sure you check out Winchester, Virginia's Facebook and Instagram, where you'll see the full list of activities, as well as some, I'm going to shamelessly help myself out here. We're also spotlighting some historic Black figures from the city of Winchester throughout the month as well. So make sure that you stop by and check out some looks back as well as looking forward during the month of February.
Yes, that's good.
Fantastic. So I want to also talk about some of these specific events. And the one I want to start with is with Miss Judy Humbert, because this was the one I was most excited about. You're leading some trolley tours around Winchester. Can you tell us more about those, when they're happening, what you're going to be talking about? Just get everybody as excited as I am.
We are doing the trolley tours. The next one will be coming up this Saturday, the 10th. Then the other one will come up the following Sunday and then the following Saturday. But this is something that Terry Sloan and I have done before. Well, I work with a group to create the African-American Heritage Tour. I think it has about 22 or 24 sites. It was produced, again, by the Visitor Center. And what we're doing is driving the trolley car through the city to each of these sites. And Terry is a driver, and I am the narrator. As far as I know, all of them have been booked. I did hear that there were 3 seats left on the one on the 25th. That was Saturday. So I don't know if there's any space available now.
So you're the hottest ticket in town is what I'm hearing.
I guess. Yeah.
What are some of the spots that you're going to highlight on the trolley tour?
We stop at the site of Dr. Polson, who was the only black doctor from the late 30s to 1950s. We stop at the site of his home. We stop at the site of the Negro Day Nursery on Palmall, which was the forerunner of Fremont Street. We stop at Professor Gibson's home. We see the Old Stone Church, which was the original black school. Go on through Douglas, stop at Kent, the Masonic Lodge, the Elks Lodge. The First Cartwright Funeral Home, Brown's Barbershop, St. Paul. We stop at the site of the Brown Home. So we are all throughout Winchester.
Wow. It's amazing that there are so many areas to stop at.
Yes, yes.
And that they're as well researched as they are. So thank you and the committee that was tasked with pulling all of that together. We are just so lucky to have that in this area. All right. Mr. Dixon, we're going to jump to you next. Why don't you talk to us about what some of your favorite activities are that are planned for this month?
Probably the most favorite I had was Douglas Night, which is already past us. But it does something to me. It just brings me alive when I see all the former Douglas people come into a school that at one time they weren't allowed to come into. And it was just wonderful to see these kids dressed in Douglas uniforms. But there's just something that just, I think a lot of people enjoyed it. They got to hear some history about what Douglas meant to our community. And, it was just a wonderful time. I'm looking forward to the trolley ride. I haven't been on one yet, but I'm anxious to see that. I've been to just about all these locations, but it's always good to hear and be reminded about who these people are and what everybody has done for our community. Those two are probably my favorite. And then at the end of the month, the Black History Program at Hanley, we're still trying to get some things done for that. It should be fun, and it should be a learning and something that everybody can learn from. Because, at one time, we just didn't get to learn about our history.
It's so important to be able to feel so connected to your history. So it's just so impactful.
You're right.
All right. Vice Mayor Hill, you mentioned that people were coming from as far away as Manassas to represent Clark County in this. What's going on outside of Winchester?
Outside of Winchester, we have a couple of events. One is the dramatic reading that's happening at the Josephine School Community Museum in Berryville. Their event is...
It's a reading.
A reading. It's a reading.
An elementary school reading.
And that date, I don't have my calendar.
February 10th.
February the 10th. I was going to say the...
Can you tell that Mr. Dixon has the calendar in
yes,
front of
he
him?
Does.
He's cheating. He's not that good. I mean, he might be. He might be that guy.
I have judged for this competition.
Okay.
So slow your roll now.
All right.
Okay, so you could tell us a lot
so
more
they're
about that.
So they're elementary schoolers?
Yes, it's for the elementary school kids where they come in and do dramatic readings. And basically, there's a group of people who come in. They judge how well they've done it, and it's usually pretty interesting and very good. Fortunately, my wife and I, we were both judges for this competition. I don't think they asked me back this year.
You must have done something last year.
No. It's a good event. It's at Josephine Street Museum, which, if you want to get there early because it's not a big area. But it's it helps the kids because you can see the excitement these kids have. It's just a pleasure to see that they are doing something that they're a little uneasy about, but it just makes them feel good when they're finished.
I am excited about attending that event only because it reminds me of the days when I was in school and we had to perform after a literature class for our parents and neighbors in the schools. Almost each month there was a reading or some kind of recitation that students had to give in front of their parents to let them know that they were learning in school, that they were remembering things. Mm-hmm. So it was really good. So I'm excited to see the elementary school kids perform. I have never been, but this year I promised myself that I was going to attend that.
That sounds fantastic.
I'm excited about that.
And I don't think I've asked you, Vice Mayor Hill, what are you most excited about with all of these events coming up?
I'm excited about all of the events because I think they're all great, and it's an opportunity for, as Mr. Dixon said, an opportunity for us to remember and to get to know a lot of people that would not normally we would meet, but also the people that we do know here. And not being from this area, it's always exciting for me to meet people that were born and went to school similar times that I did, but we didn't necessarily go to the same schools together. But it's ironic that we seem to have had the same type of teachings, or the procedures were taught the same way. And so as I listened to even to Ms. Humbert talk about her past in going to Douglas School, it just reminded me of the teachers I had in North Carolina, which were very similar. Probably many of the teachers went to the same schools. That's why there's so much similarity here. But I'm really excited about all of those activities. And I'm excited about the opportunity that we're giving people to come out and learn more about African-American history. I know the books that we have, of course, we didn't have them when I was in school, do not adequately represent all of the achievements, all of the people that did little things or large things within our community or within our culture. So it's that opportunity, and as I said, just meeting people and being able to interact with them and have more discussions. I think it's just very helpful. So I'm really looking forward to every activity.
Oh, love that answer. Yeah. All right, and Ms. Humbert?
I'm excited about all of them. I'm excited that I was asked to work with the committee. I'm excited that Winchester City has supported this endeavor. But I think I'm most excited about the Roland Hayes concert. Roland Hayes appeared here in November of 1923 in City Hall Auditorium, and he was sponsored by John Mann United Methodist Church. It's amazing to me that a gentleman who started with Fisk University but sang all over the world, they were able to get him to little old Winchester. So that's a piece of our history that probably a lot of people don't know, the things that Blacks in Winchester have been able to accomplish over the years. And I just think this is one of the many ways. And I know the young man who is doing the concert, Mount Carmel celebrated 150 years several years ago, and he was the artist then. But he researched Black music from the time when Black churches first started and brought it up to present day. So he does put a lot of research, and he's done a lot of research into the background of Roland Hayes. So I'm just anxious to see that come together, and I'm just hoping we fill up Armstrong Auditorium.
Oh, that sounds magical. And that's happening on February...
The 23rd.
Yes.
7 p.m. at Armstrong Auditorium on the Shenandoah College campus. Yes.
Oh, that sounds exciting. All right. I know I wasn't part of the committee, but I shamelessly have an event that I'm most looking forward to. Other than the trolley tours, which is the one that professionally I have one that I'm most looking forward to. That's the dedication of the new Poles Park.
Yes.
Which will be happening on February 24th. That's a Saturday at 11 a.m. at the new Poles Park. And that is at the corner of Franklin and Maple Street. And it's got a beautiful walking trail. I was out there the other day and it is gorgeous. There's a beautiful sign honoring Spotswood Poles out there that talks about not just his contributions as the legendary baseball player that he was, but also the fact that he was a World War II hero. He was part of he volunteered to go to World War I when nobody was asking him to, just raised his hand and did what was right. And I think that's something that gets overlooked a lot. So,
you know, the interesting thing is Judy and I grew up in the neighborhood that he lived in.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So right where did he grow up?
Fremont Street.
Oh. Yeah.
And it's, you know, that's something that I don't know if Judy knew that. We never discussed this in schools. And from day one until we left high school. And here's a man who was very instrumental in this area for a while, but we didn't know anything about him. And there's several other people from this area, black people, who did some things not only for the city of Winchester, but for this entire country. That's now we're starting to get people to understand that this is what black history is all about.
And I think that is why, you know, we have worked so hard to come up with these activities, is to make people aware of those achievements of the African-Americans that lived even in this community, their contributions not only to the community, as Mr. Dixon said, but to the entire U.S. and the world in itself. So that's why I think we're all very excited.
That's fantastic. And as I mentioned, keep your eye on social media, Facebook and Instagram, because we're going to be highlighting and spotlighting many of those incredibly worldwide influential Black Americans from Winchester, born and raised here, the things they did not just for this community, but for the entire country and the world. So keep your eyes peeled for that. I want to thank all three of you for joining us today on the Ross Review. Does anybody have any final parting words?
Come out and support it all. Everything.
Yes.
Come to everything.
Every single event.
Yes.
Ms. Humbert will be there to greet you personally.
Thank you for having us today.
Thank you.
Thank you all so much. I appreciate it. And now we're back to the rest of the Rouse Review.
That about wraps up our podcast. It's nice to be back. We look forward to doing more of these throughout the year for you. If you have any topics or if you have any things you'd like to cover, please feel free to reach out to Sarah. Her email is
Sarah, S-A-R-A-H dot Frey, F-R-E-Y at winchesterva.gov.
Gotcha. Reach out to Sarah. We know that especially during this time of year with the budget process, there's going to be questions. There will be good information out there. There will be a lot of patently false information out there. This process is never clean and simple, and particularly in a year when the cupboard is bare. So please feel free to reach out directly to us with any questions or suggestions for the podcast. And with that, I hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you around City Hall.